Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Michael Finney. Today I am joined by author Eric Wagg. Would you like to say hello?
Hey everyone, I'm Eric Wagg.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you're from, anything we should know.
Well, I'm from Toronto. I got into writing seriously in 2020 as the pandemic hit. I had been writing previously, but as many authors have done, you write and write and your stories turn into huge messes, and I didn't know where to go. So I just decided I'm going to write a small, simple story. I thought it would maybe be 10,000 words, but it ended up being about 60,000 words, and it
wow.
turned into Citadel of Seven Swords. So, yeah, previously I had written things that had just spiraled out of control. I wrote extra details about every characters. I gave everyone subplots. Yeah, just turned into a mess. And I just wanted to go simple, very pulpy. And yeah, as it turns out, you can get a lot more out of that than just 10,000 words. So,
yeah, for sure. You're kind of connected with the indie scene. As you call it, I believe, Iron Age. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So everyone's got a different idea of what the Iron Age is. To me, it was just a nice banner to sort of, you know, to wave. Has a cool name. It's really just, pardon me, it's very much against sort of mainstream publishing, which has been going downhill. You know, I think people have looked for, you know, the kinds of stories they want to read and they don't find it and they get maybe depressed, especially men and boys. You know, they want adventure novels and it's just not there for them. And so I heard the, I forget who it was that I heard it from first, but Iron Age, I thought that's great. And they really are just sort of an anti-mainstream, do-it-yourself kind of crew. And yeah, I started writing under that banner. Everyone's got a different idea of what it is. It's just very non-political, very story focused, and be entertaining and don't treat your fans like jerks. That's about it.
Yeah, reasonable. Tell us a little bit about your process in terms of writing or publishing, how you think about it and how you go about it.
It's not something I've been working on. Citadel of Seven Swords took maybe 2 years to get down. Like I said, I started writing in about 2020. And, you know, I had difficulties in writing the script. I didn't know where I was going to go exactly, and it petered out a little bit. And then Brandon Sanderson had his huge Kickstarter. And I really didn't know much about Brandon Sanderson at that point, but it looked to me like he was an indie, you know, just putting out a Kickstarter. And I thought, holy smokes, I have to get back into this. So I did some research into him. I found out he's, you know, much bigger than I thought. Like I said, I haven't really read too much modern authors. And he finished the Robert Jordan novels, which I'm not really a fan of Robert Jordan. So I never really paid attention to him. I watch all of his online videos. He's got a series on writing, and it's very, very practical advice. So that really got me kickstarted back into it, and I finished the novel. And then I spent another year trying to edit it, find people. When you're getting into writing, just writing your own novel, and you're serious about it, it's you're kind of left to sink or swim on your own until you know, find a community. So that's what took a lot of it. It's just finding the right people. And so the first book was really just a struggle to get things down right, like to understand how it works. So the process for the second one was, you know, I understood the process of writing a little better, and it took me maybe 3.5 months to actually write it. So a lot faster. I didn't edit it quite as much before I sent it off to my beta reader and my editor, and that caused a few issues. So that's part of the process I'm going to change for book three. So I'm still working on my process, but right now I'm going to be writing, get back to writing again now that Weird of the Skull Totem has just been published today, actually. It's the release day.
Congrats.
Yeah, so... Yeah, thank you. It's very exciting. Yeah. So book three, I'm going to start writing just, you know, a constant amount every day. I work, I have a family. It's not easy to always find time to write. So I just keep it up, you know, the document file as I'm working. And if I can get 200 words down in a day, that's fine. If I can get 2,000 words, that's better. But just I try to write every day. And hopefully book three will be done in not too long. And then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to plan out my editing a little better and see how that goes. Hopefully I can get more of a planned process down, and we'll see how that goes.
Sure. So you've got 4 releases out currently.
Yep.
2 are Sword and 70s, Volume 1 and Volume 2. It says those are short stories. Tell us a little bit about some of that stuff.
So I just had this idea to write this character that was essentially a sword and sorcery hero, except he wasn't in a world of, you know, volcanoes and jungles and stuff. He was in Chicago. So it's kind of an urban fantasy. He's a sort of a man out of place and out of time. And it's a little bit, I guess, gonzo, a little weird. It's just a place for me to have fun. And I wrote that book, it's a novelette. It's a novelette. It's about 12,000 words. And it was, in a way, a test for publishing the novel, you know. I wasn't messing around trying to write a crappy story and just put it out. But the process of publishing itself was a mystery. So it was sort of my test bed. I thought, if I screw it up, you know, at least it's a smaller thing than I'm screwing up. I think it turned out fairly well. All the art is mine, so if it looks a little off, that's me.
No, that's awesome. I'm very happy to hear you kind of do everything organically yourself, in-house. You know, it is what it is. I think when you have a large ecosystem in traditional publishing, you can lean on, an artist or other folks to kind of pick up some of those tasks. But when you're a small indie, you know, then you have to find solutions at hand.
Yeah, that was part of the discovery process for me, is just how much work goes into these things. And it's a lot for an indie to take on. So if someone puts out one book a year or something like that, I can understand, because it's a lot.
It's a lot to write.
Yeah. Just wanted to clarify that the artwork on my 2 novels is actually done by Christoph Porcheski off of ArtStation. So he's a far better artist than I am. So just want to clarify that. But yeah, the whole process of doing everything yourself, I'd say maybe half the work is something besides writing. So
for sure.
And, it surprised me.
Let's cover the order that this stuff was released, right? So what came out first, and then we'll get into your most recent release.
So the first thing that came out was That Axe Anciently Was Mine. It's the first of the Sword and 70 series. And it's kind of the origin story of Samuel Ryder, which is the hero of the story. So that came out first. And it just explores sort of his personality, the weird side of Chicago in the 1970s. It's just an action-packed little adventure. And I had the second book pretty much half written by the time it came out. At that point, Citadel of Seven Swords was already written. I was in the process of editing it, but it's a very slow process. So I wanted this smaller thing that I could try to do on my own. It was a more manageable, bite-sized thing that I could do myself. And so I believe Fangs of the Moon Opal, which is the second of the Sword and 70 series, that came out just a little bit before my novel. And that's a continuation of an exploration of the weird side of Chicago with Samuel Ryder, where, he interacts more with a secret society and with the underworld there. And So after that, I sort of pulled the trigger and published Citadel of Seven Swords. And I was pleased with the way people received it. It got a lot more attention than the Sword and 70 series, which I think is maybe difficult to market, because it's like hard to describe. What is it? You know, is it fantasy, urban fantasy, sword and sorcery? Yeah. So the genre is a little weird, but this is just simple sword and sorcery. And I was surprised to find there's a large number of people out there who really want this sort of thing, just an old school barbarian kicking ass adventure. So I was happy to see people pick that up.
Very cool, man. You have been ripping. I'm a very slow fiction writer. It takes me forever. Maybe I'm a slow writer in general. I guess you could even make that argument. I've been trying to put out one paperback a year since 2019. And, you know, luckily I had a back catalog of stuff that I've been working on, but it's a lot of photographic kind of journalism, things like that. And then another couple of pieces that were more marketing focused. I'm just now getting into fiction, just kind of stretching out into it. It's hard, you know, very commendable that you have been just ripping through this stuff. And 60,000 words is like beyond my imagination. I struggle, you know, even to get the 3,000 to the short story that I'm preparing to release here. And then, you know, kind of have a goal of doing three slightly longer pieces that will be about 6,000 words a piece, and there will be three of them. So, you know, 18,000, which is, you know, small compared to what you're doing.
Short stories are their own thing, though. They're a little harder than people think, you know. So 10,000 words of short stories is a little bit, more difficult than 10,000 words of a novel. You know what I mean?
Why do you think that?
You got to concentrate it. You got to really just boil it down to the bare bones and get right to it. I think it's, at least that's my take on it. So you've been doing mostly short stories.
Yeah.
You're like a lot of people in Conan's Sumerian, Salon Sumerian, there seem to be a lot of short story people.
For sure.
And I respect that, man. I'm really trying to get into the short story now. I've written one that was an Anvil number 2, and I'm trying to get another one done, but it's I'm getting like maybe 200 words done a day, so it's going to go a bit slow.
That's a lot for me. I feel like you're crushing it. Even if you're only getting 200. 200 is like a pretty good average day if I'm actually like sitting down to write. If I get any more above that, then it's just a record setter of a day for me. Getting 3,000 took me, I would say, 6 months, you know, last year. And then for sure. And then you know, for me, I like to do the audiobooks, so have been working on the edits for that right now. Actually, over the last week, I've been doing the recording. I did some punch-ins that needed to be fixed up just because, you know, little incidental noises occur or whatever. They need to be fixed. Yeah. Or maybe, you just don't like the emotional pacing of something that you read the first time around, so you switch some things around. And I found that to be really helpful for editing too. So there's actually a couple of choices that I'm making in terms of the copy just from going through that read. I don't know if you're into audiobooks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yet, but, you know.
I'm not into audiobooks, but, you know, that brings something up is when I go through editing, I have what I call an audio edit, and I just let Microsoft Word read it to me, which is a terrible voice. But hearing the words just brings out so much that I missed the first time around. So it's just a different part of your brain. And it's incredible. So it's like having another editor. It's part of my current editing process.
Yeah. To me, it's been absolutely critical. Have you thought about doing audiobooks for your releases?
I mean, at some point, it sounds like you've got a radio voice. So I can imagine you doing a really good, audiobook. I don't think I've got that myself, but I would totally look into that at some point.
I would disagree. I think you can handle it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've heard they're a little bit difficult, though, audiobooks, financially and getting them set up, and they don't really pay back that well unless you're bigger, but I'd definitely give them a try at some point. Because I know they are. It's changing, I think, but
so here's the interesting thing for me. Ebooks perform very poorly for me. Paperbacks, good. Audiobooks, also good. You know, whether that has to do with just the nature of, you know, the folks that follow me around or are interested in my voice or the work in that sort of format or whatever, you know, I really think that everybody should be looking at that aspect of their publications. And so if you have someone else reading them, right? Yeah. Then the costs are going to skyrocket up. But if you can perform that reading, if you can perform that editing, you know, it's really just time, right? In that sense. And the cost, you know, if you have a good mic and you have some editing software, even if it's, you know, just GarageBand, which is what I use for mine, because it's so intuitive and it's, you know, enough. I've worked with a lot of different audio programs over the years, but honestly, like, you could put out an audio book using just Audacity, which is $0 to do it, you know? So I definitely advocate.
Yeah, that's what I've picked that up, Audacity, and I've got DaVinci Resolve here. I have no editing experience with sound or video. I've done a lot of work on Photoshop since like the 90s, just messing around. So sure. I create my own stuff for, you know, for Twitter to throw up. And but as far as Audacity and DaVinci Resolve go, I'm just learning that right now. I put myself up on YouTube because it's, you know, that's putting myself out there, kind of like an uncomfortable step. But it's one of those things that I think if you want to be an author, you've got to do is, you know, expand your horizons.
Yeah.
And get out of your comfort zone. So that's what I'm doing now. I've got a few videos out on YouTube. Most of them are just me sitting in front of the camera, and I was just recording it on my work computer, which has the built-in mic, built-in camera. And most of my videos are just that, so not the highest quality. And just this past month, I picked up this.
I've watched them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're fine. I think you're being overly critical on yourself. Yeah, I think they're fine. I think in terms of, you know, just creating some material to build up a catalog on YouTube, it's perfectly fine. As far as DaVinci Resolve goes, man, DaVinci's such a fantastic free program and everything that you can do. I have DaVinci. I use it occasionally, too. So in that way, you know, to be able to create commercials for your own work or to be able to do interview stuff or to be able to create maybe even, you know, stuff based off of the what you're writing. You know, if you turned some of your short stories into animatics, or even if you did an author reading where it's just you reading your material that way, you know, it might be an excellent piece of material to put out there into the world that way.
Yeah, definitely think about it. It's something I'm playing with now. I just put out my book trailer for Weird of the Skull Totem maybe 2 weeks ago. And yeah, I had a few days off of work. So I sat down and I got DaVinci Resolve up and stared at it. And basically my process is go to YouTube and say, DaVinci Resolve, how do I do this?
Yeah.
How do I do that? And just one step at a time. How do I focus in on this? How do I move the frame over? You know, just tiny little things. So it took me 3 days basically to get this 2 minute book trailer going. And yeah, I think it's passable at least.
Yeah, the next one will only take 1 day. And here's the cool thing too. You have these four releases. You could go back and create commercials and promotional pieces for all this stuff and release it. And then, you know, you have that catalog and that experience that you get to lean on for volume three. But let's dive into Weird of the Skull Totem. I don't want you to necessarily give everything away. Scarred, right, is the featured character in this series. Tell us what you want us to know without necessarily giving up the ghost.
I'll see what I can come up with it without, I need an elevator pitch is what I need without too many spoilers. But Skarda, it follows his adventures after the end of Citadel of Seven Swords, which he obviously survives and escapes from. You know, so, yeah, I guess the first few chapters are him, starts out with him being a successful pirate because he's got himself a nice ship, and they go pirating. And of course he is a little overconfident. It goes a little beyond what he should, and he gets into big trouble, and they end up shipwrecked on a shore that's way on the eastern ends of civilization, where sort of the maps don't really describe what's there, and some of the crewmates are very afraid to go, you know, further inland because there's lots of tales. So terrible things happen. They try to deal with those terrible things. And in dealing with those, horrible, horrible things, they find even worse things behind them. And they just get dug further in until the disaster at the end. So
I like the supernatural elements that are in, you know, implied here. Do readers need to read the first book to get into this one, or are they kind of episodic in the way you could just jump into this without having known all the backstory?
So my intention going into these is that they're separate stories. I think you would get maybe 5% more out of it reading the first book, because, you know, his sword, obviously, there's something going on with his sword. So if you just start reading Weird of the Skull Totem, you might want to know, where did he get this sword? Well, you have to read Citadel for that. But I don't really get into what the sword does in Citadel. He just gets the sword there. And in Weird of the Skull Totem, he sort of discovers what it's all about. And that ends up, it's basically a cursed sword. It's hard to describe. From the book cover, you can see it's on fire. I hope readers aren't disappointed, because it doesn't actually flame in the story, but it's connected to the element of fire. So it's very connected to the element of fire. You have to read it to find out why. But it's definitely its own. It's almost like a character in itself. So, and in a way, it's like a little bit connected to like Elric, right? Except he's not totally dependent on the sword. It's more like he can't get rid of this thing. And so it's a sword that he is dependent on, wishes he didn't have, but it can be powerful, but it's extremely dangerous, which is sort of the basis of the magic system that I've got going on with this. So
very cool. I dig it. So what else should we know that we haven't covered that you would like people to know about you or your work or really anything?
I'll just talk about the magic system very briefly. It's very mysterious. It's very dangerous. Even those that use magic don't know everything about it. And it's a soft magic system, because I felt that's really what it should be. Someone like Brandon Sanderson has a hard magic system. And for me, it's almost like a science. It's too much like a science. You know what I mean? And I didn't want that element. I wanted the mystery involved. And so it's really about the feeling that I had when I was reading Savage Sword of Conan comics in the backseat of my parents' car, going on long trips. And there's just this, you know, mysterious land out there. Who knows what's over the next hill? Excuse me. And I wanted to sort of bring that feeling of mystery and danger to the stories. Yeah, so danger, mystery, and excitement. And I listen to heavy metal as I write. So some epic metal to bring
like
that
metal
feel to it. Yeah. And Citadel of Seven Swords was written, like I'd say, about 70% to a band called Eternal Champion. And Man of War was involved as well. So I wanted to bring that feel into the stories.
Does that help you get inspired or create a mood?
Yeah, it's mostly about mood, getting into the right mood. Editing is a little more of a chilly process. I just go through it step by step. But with writing, yeah, I need that feel going while I'm writing. And I try to keep the prose is inspired by the pulps of old. Of course, I have, Robert E. Howard in mind, like most of us do. I can't emulate him perfectly. I'm not trying to emulate him, but he's certainly an inspiration. And Skarda he's not really a Conan ripoff character. At least I'm not trying to do that. Obviously inspired a bit by Conan, but he's got his own attitudes. He's a bit more of a wild card and a smart mouth than Conan is. Yeah, so not trying to make a Conan-esque character. He's his own thing.
Let's talk shop a little bit here, because you made me want to know, what are the differences between a soft magic system and a hard magic system?
So I got these terms from Brandon Sanderson, who really seems to like to talk about these things analytically. With a hard magic system, you've got the magic very defined, and you let the audience know what that system is. In part, this is to escape cheating. So when you're reading a book and all of a sudden the character just pulls some magic mumbo jumbo out that solves their problems, it kind of deflates the tension. Like, oh, that just fixed the problem. That wasn't that exciting. So with a hard magic system, it's sort of described so that the audience knows what magic can do. So you'd have to explain how the character uses magic in a little more technical detail, a little more, you have to be more imaginative with those powers. So you can't get away with sort of a cheap get out of jail free card. With soft magic, everything is very much undefined and mysterious. And you're not really given any sort of idea what the mechanics behind the magic are. And I prefer that because I want my magic to be more mysterious, more spiritual, more mysterious. Though I am careful not to give the characters any outs. Skarda is not a sorcerer, so he can't, summon magic to help him. The sword is magical, but it's also extremely dangerous, and he doesn't know how dangerous it is. So he's like a lot of barbarians, a little bit superstitious and very, very wary of using it in any way, shape, or form. And another character I have in Citadel, Sulme, is a sorceress, but I make it clear that she has certain powers that are fairly well defined, and she admits she doesn't know much about magic, and in fact, she's trying to find out more. That's part of the reason she's on the in the area that she is. Well, you'll have to find out exactly why she's there if you read the book. But so she's on a search for magical knowledge. She doesn't know. She knows it's dangerous. And the main villain is a wizard. And you don't really get to see what his powers are. Well, you do, but I don't describe the full range of his powers, right? If he uses something against you, you just see it through the character's eyes. And there's no, omniscient narrator telling you what the magic is. You're going to see it as the characters see it.
Where can people find you online and abroad?
You can find my books on Amazon. I do have a website, ericwag.com. Is it Wag Books? One second.
Wag Books. I'm looking at it.
Wag Books. Thank you. Wag Books. Eric Wag is my email. You can find me at Wag Books. I'm on Twitter as well. And, I'll answer questions. I'll talk to people. I'm happy to talk to people if they have any questions. You can pick up my books, Citadel of Seven Swords and Weird of the Skull Totem on Amazon. And I don't think the book three will be out by the time this comes out, but it's in the process. So
if you got this out by February or March when this episode comes out, I would be blown away.
I don't think that'll happen. But this year.
All right. That's an incredible pace, I'll be honest with you. Thanks for taking the time, and we'll talk before too long.
Thank you so much, Michael.